It seems that Christians, instead of waiting on God and trusting God for answer or the answer in prayer, they're in a hurry. So since they're in a hurry, they don't want to wait, they take matters into their own hands.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. Today on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill teaches a topical message from the Old Testament book of Psalms. Pastor has titled this message, Wait and Trust. Now here's Pastor Bill.
We're in Psalm 62 this morning. Normally, we're teaching through a book of the Bible. Of course, I've already finished 2 Peter. This morning, as we look at these 12 verses about waiting on God and trusting in God, I want to take you back 2 Sundays ago. I was gone last Sunday. Just as a reminder, a checkup, if you will, a refresher of what I talked to you about 2 Sundays ago. And remember, one of the scriptures that I gave was from Proverbs 22, verse 3, where it says, a prudent man foresees evil. He sees it. He knows. He foresees the evil day, and he hides himself from it. But the simple man, they pass on and they're punished. They suffer the consequences because they don't have discernment. Listen, discernment is very important. Amen? Remember from 2 weeks ago. And, you know, remember that to foresee evil doesn't mean that a person, you walk in discernment. It doesn't mean what you see looks evil, but it is evil. And that's very important. There are a lot of beautiful things that look beautiful and appealing to the eyes and so forth, but they'll kill you. So we have to be a wise people the rest of 2024 and into 2025. And remember what I told you, we are Christians. No one has the right to reshape our thinking or redefine our thinking, no matter who they are. Amen? Amen? The government or anyone else. We believe the Word of God, and the only one that can shape our mind is our Lord. Matter of fact, we're commanded, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, you know, when I look around and the things that are happening, on the surface, you know, if you will, it seems that Christian America here before and now after the election, very important, they believe, it seems Christian America believes the promises of God more than, the promises of candidates more than the promises of God. We have to be very wise about that. Amen? Listen, I rejoice. We have a new president and I praise the Lord for that. But if you stop praying now, you're in trouble. We have to pray for this coming year, if the Lord tarries. Amen? So don't neglect that at all. That's why 2 weeks ago was so important, and that I told you the most important thing we can do from the rest of this year, and in, if the Lord tarries, into 2025, is to sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen? That's the right choice. And we have been commanded to do something. Every Christian is commanded by Jesus in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? We've been also commanded, Colossians 3, chapter 1 and 2, to seek those things above where Christ is, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Amen? Don't set your mind on things below, but set your mind on things above. And we also talked about from Hebrews 4:16, how we are to completely, a Christian, we are to revolve around the throne of grace. Now, that's what we taught 2 weeks ago. My question is, did you? Did you really take the sermon, and did you apply what God's word commanded us to do? God's commandments are always our enablements. Amen? And so if you did do that, did you find it difficult? I did, because before it was all right. I could go and I'd do that every morning. But then after I preached that, it was, boy, you're talking about difficulty. You know, maybe this was you. If you were saying, Bill, every morning I'm going to go to the throne of grace. Maybe this is what happened to you. Psalm 69:3, he writes, oh, I'm weary with crying. My throat is dry and my eyes fail while I wait for my God. Were you worn out in prayer from seeking God? Were you worn out in prayer by waiting on the Lord? You probably were like me. You were sleeping. That's what Peter did, right? In the garden, you know, Jesus had to go and wake him up and say, could you boys not tarry with me for 1 hour? The Bible tells us something about this generation. Do we live in a strange time? Let's look at it this way. Do we live in what is called a hurry-up generation? Everybody is in a hurry. And listen, and they're serious. You better get out of their way. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter if you're old like Mario, you know? You need to get out of their way. You understand? Everybody is in a hurry. I mean, you go grocery shopping, are they in a hurry? Don't you dare cut in line. Oh, don't you even think. They'll race you to get there. They have a gallon of milk and you have a whole full, but it doesn't matter. No, you get on the freeway. That's a danger zone. Literally, everybody is in a hurry. Why? Because this generation, the word wait, W-A-I-T, is absent from their thinking and absent from their vocabulary. Their mentality is, I want it now. And if I don't get it now, it's a waste of time. I want everything right now. To them, to wait 30 minutes is like waiting 5 hours. I like the slow lane. You know what I mean? If something happens when you turn 50, like I did, you slow down a little bit. It doesn't bother you, all right? I'm not in a hurry to get any place. Maybe to lunch later, I don't know. But listen very carefully. It seems, and I'm going to challenge you, and I'm going to do it in love. Is that okay? It seems that Christians, instead of waiting on God and trusting God for answer or the answer in prayer, they're in a hurry. So since they're in a hurry, they don't want to wait, they take matters into their own hands. They get ahead of God. Loved one, listen to me. I fear there is a whole lot of weight in the Christian today, and I don't mean W-E-I-G-H-T. I'm talking W-W-A-I-T, okay? Wait. Do you understand? And so forth. See, here we are today. We've got wives and husbands. They're born again. They're spirit-filled. But you know what? They're waiting to make Jesus the Lord of their marriage. Why are you waiting for? You're commanded to do that. Amen? I mean, God created marriage. I mean, he knows what you need. And so many Christians are waiting. They're waiting to serve. I'm going to do it, but I'm just waiting. Well, why? I'm waiting to be a soul winner. Well, what are you waiting on? You know, I'm waiting to walk in love. Well, why? I'm waiting to forgive that person. What are you waiting on? Go forgive that person. Amen? Christians, so many Christians are waiting. They're waiting to get over their problems. What might have been, what could have been, what should have been in their life. Christians, I hear them say all the time, I haven't had really a firm morning Bible study, but I've been waiting, but I'm going to do it now. Okay, well then do it. The same thing with prayer. Do it. Amen? I think that, you know what? You think that you're waiting on God? I tell you what, I think God is waiting on us to do what is right. There's just a whole lot of waiting going on. The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord. And then it tells you, as you wait on him, what to do. It says, and be of good courage. And then it gives you a promise if you will do that. It says, and he, God, will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now listen to me. Waiting on the Lord, just waiting, is it hard? But something happens when you wait on the Lord. It says in that scripture, it doesn't weaken you. It strengthens you as you wait upon the Lord. Yesterday in my office, when I was preparing today's sermon, these questions I asked myself, that's why I'm asking you. And let me just ask, I said, Bill, are the promises of God worth waiting on? Are they worth waiting on for you? Okay, is God worth waiting on? Absolutely, yes. See, true faith waits and trusts the Lord. Psalm 62 is a unique 12 verses, loved one. It's called the only psalm because the word only is repetitiously used, okay, in Scripture here. Now, we're not given any historical background. We don't know what really was happening with David, but we know whatever it was real. He was hurting in some way, but you're not going to find any word of dissatisfaction from David. This is an incredible, incredible psalm, loved one. And so David, going through this difficult season in his life, but he lives above that, and he wants to show us how to live above those difficult seasons in our life as well. So the theme of this little psalm that we're going to cover this morning is trust, trust in the Lord. So we wait for the Lord, as in we wait, we trust in him. So it says, Psalm 62 to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. Now he was one of the musicians there who led the temple choir and so forth. And then it says, a psalm of David. Let's begin in verse 1. He says, truly, or literally, only truly, to the very fullest degree, David says, truly my soul, look what it does, silently waits, or quietly waits, or patiently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. What a way to start a psalm. David is sitting, he knows what he's going through, and what does he do? He says, everything that is within me, all of me, my entire soul, all that I am, I'm just going to wait silently and patiently before the Lord. That's great faith, amen? And that's what kind of faith I want as well. And you're not going to find any word of David complaining in this scripture at all. He just waits on the Lord. He's waiting for God's timing. He's waiting for God's plan. No matter the circumstance, he is waiting. But I want you to see why David is waiting. Look what he tells us. He says, from him, meaning God only, from him comes my what? My salvation, my victory, my deliverance. I'm going to ask you a question. The same question that I asked myself yesterday. Loved one, listen. Do you, Christian, do you really, truly, honestly believe that it is God's will in anything that you're facing, any hardship that you're going through, any horrible trial or struggle that you're going through, do you believe that your Father in heaven wants to give you the victory in that circumstance? Yes. If you believe that, then you are way down the road, okay? Loved one, listen to me now. The Bible teaches us very clearly, 2 Corinthians 2:14. He tells us this. Paul says, now thanks be unto God who always, say that word, always, not sometimes, not maybe, but who always leads us in triumph, or leads us in victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That means this. If you are truly following the Lord, he may be leading you over here, and it may be the hardest thing in your life, and you're going, I can't, this is wrong, it's killing me. No, God says, I'm leading you away from disaster. I'm leading you to victory, but you've got to trust me, you've got to believe in me, and you have to wait on me. Amen? And when you do that, now listen, he wants every one of you right now, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your hurt is, no matter what your need is, God says, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. And I want to lead my sons and my daughters. I want to lead you in victory, but you have to follow me. He can't lead you if you're not following him. Amen? Very important. The apostle of love, John, what does he write to us? What does it take to really have victory in life? I mean, what does it really mean to conquer, for a Christian to conquer something? John writes, he tells us, listen, he says in 1 John 5:4, he says, whoever is born of God, whoever is born of God, whoever confesses Jesus Christ, Lord, be my Lord and save me, the new birth, whoever is born again, whoever is born of God, are you ready for this? Overcomes, that word means is victorious over. He says, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. The only qualification is not putting on the whole armor of God. It's not fighting. No, he said, whoever is born from above, you have already gained victory over the world. That means anything that is in this world, whatever this world can come up with, because you are in the one who has overcome this world, you have already overcome it. Amen. Amen? Now, wait a minute. It's easy to say it, but do you believe it? We better believe it for where we're going. We have to believe it. We have to believe the word of God. He goes on and he says this, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. He says, our faith. We trusted in Christ. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You know what? We have overcome everything because Jesus has. Amen? Amen. Later on, read 1 Corinthians 15:56 and following. Listen, it says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, Hades, where is thy victory? Well, Hades is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Amen? Yeah, listen, death can't touch you because Jesus has already tasted death for you, and then Jesus turned around and destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. Hebrews 2:9, Hebrews 2:14. He's done that for us. We are in victory right now. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, it says, young people, listen, he says, you are strong. And then he tells you why. He says, because the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one, because you're in the word of God. Loved one, you have the victory. You have the victory right now. I'm going to tell you something else. You have the victory on the darkest day of your life, when you feel that you don't have victory, when you feel that you can't go on. When you say, I'm ready to throw in the towel, I'm ready to give it up, I can't believe anymore. I'm telling you, on the darkest day of your life, if you're in Christ Jesus, you have the victory. Look to him in your pain, and he says, I will lead you to victory. Amen? That's what our God does, because he loves us, loved one. So every day of our life, from now 2024 all the way, if the Lord tarries into 2025, we have to wait on the Lord. Waiting is the posture, loved one, of true Bible faith. We wait for God's answer in prayer. We wait for his plan. We wait for his will, his instruction. And look what David says in verse 2. God only, look what he says. He makes it personal. He says, God is my only rock. He's my only protection. God is my only salvation. He's my only deliverance. He's my only defense. In other words, I have no other protection, no other strong tower but him. He says, I shall not be greatly what? Moved. I'll not be shaken. I'm not going to fall apart, because I have my God. Listen, remember Hannah, who did not have a baby, and she was barren, and she went before the Lord and cried out to the Lord, and then she had Samuel, remember? And then listen to the mother's prayer, 1 Samuel 2:1. And Hannah prayed and said, oh, my heart rejoices in the Lord. He says, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my horn, my strength. I'm no longer barren. He says, I had a baby. I had a little Samuel, in other words. Oh, I smile at my enemies, those who said, you're barren, you'll never have children. See, God answered her prayer. I smile at my enemies. Why? Because I rejoice in your salvation, in your victory, in your deliverance. Now listen to what she says. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. I want you to listen now. Who is our rock? Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Amen? Okay, do you believe that our rock, do you believe that he delights in reversing things in our lives? Was Hannah barren? Then Hannah had a baby. Amen? Did God reverse that? Now, I want you to listen to me. Before you get home today, before you even get home, do you know that God can change your circumstance? All he has to do is do it. But you have to believe he can do it. You have to wait on God to do it. Amen? But he can reverse it right this minute. What does the Bible tell us and teach us? That God is able. Do you believe God is able? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. Loved one, listen, our rock. You know, there are times in my life I pray the same prayer that David prayed in Psalm 61, verse 1, where he says, O Lord, he says, attend unto my cry. That's a beautiful, the word attend in Hebrew is like a picture. It's, Lord, let my prayer completely fill up your ear. Hear every word that I'm saying. He says, oh Lord, he says, hear my cry, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto you, for when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And who is that rock? That is Jesus Christ, loved one. In other words, David says, carry me there, get me there. I don't care. I need, only my rock is my protection. Only my rock is my security. Listen to me. The only cure, is your heart overwhelmed? You listening live right now? You listening on the radio? Listen to me very carefully. Is your heart overwhelmed? There is only one cure for an overwhelmed heart, and that's the rock of our salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. He will restore your heart. He's a specialist in broken hearts. Amen? He knows exactly what to do. So David said, God is my rock, my only rock. I'm sorry. Hannah said, hey, there's no other rock like our God. Now listen to me. Is Jesus your rock? Okay, then listen very carefully. Whatever you build your life on, it will manifest in your life. If your foundation is wrong, then your living is going to be wrong as well. There is only one foundation that can be laid, Paul the Apostle said, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our only rock. We build our lives on our Lord who loves us and died for us. You've heard this scripture so many times, and I say it all the time, and I'm sorry to repeat it often, but it's just the truth. We're right here. Matthew 7, what, 24, what did Jesus say? He said, whoever hears these sayings of mine, the word of God, whoever hears, he said, these sayings of mine, he says, and doeth them, who does them. Jesus said, I'm going to liken that man to a wise man who built his house on the what? The rock, the foundation. In other words, the rock is these sayings of mine, the living word of God, doing what Jesus said. He says, oh, and the storms came. Oh, man, the winds blew. And he says, your house didn't fall. Oh, you felt it. You went through it, but you're still standing. Why? You built your house on the rock. He says, but he who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house, his life, if you will, on sand. Same storms came. Same winds blew. Same floods came on that man's life. And Jesus said, and great was the fall of that person's house. Listen, we are believers and we can only build our lives on the word of the living God, and it will always support you. It's alive. Amen? Very, very important, church. Listen, you know what's amazing about the Lord? Do you remember the rock in the wilderness? Remember when Moses hit the rock and what came out of it? Water. And there they are in the wilderness, and they drank it all through their whole journeys. It says, you know, the rock was there. Now listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul talks about that rock in the wilderness and continually gave water on the wilderness journeys. And he says it was a spiritual rock, meaning it was a supernatural water, supernatural rock, and so forth. It says that followed them. Can you imagine a rock following you? Hello? I mean, well, he does. He follows you right now. He said he'd never leave you and never forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. Amen? And what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 10, 4? He says, and that rock was Christ. Christ in the wilderness, Christ in the church. He's here with us right this minute. No matter what you're going through in your life, anytime, I'm telling you, Jesus is right there with you. We're not under the old covenant, loved one. We don't live in shadows. We have the true reality. I'm going to tell you something else. The rock who is alongside of you is the same rock that is in you. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me. Christ is the rock of our salvation. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. Now look at verse 2 again. David says, he's my only rock, my only salvation, my only defense. No one else, just him. I shall not be greatly shaken or moved. You know why? Because David waited and David trusted the Lord. I'm going to tell you something about God's promises. Waiting is hard, but that's how you win. That's how you win. See, God's promises, again, they are worth waiting on. Let me give you a promise. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord. Throw it off of yourself, your burden, whatever is beating you to death. He says, cast it upon the Lord. And here's the promise. And he shall sustain you. Do you believe that? Listen, nothing can sustain us except our God. And he says this, and he will never permit the righteous to be moved or shaken. That's a promise from our Father.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for today. But Pastor Bill concludes this message on tomorrow's program, and we trust you'll tune in once again. We appreciate you listening along with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.